Good morning, Antioch, Wichita. Pastor Rob Dan's coming to you this morning in this fine morning in June, our first Sunday in June. These are crazy days, and it seems like we've been saying that for 3 months, and now that you add on top of coronavirus and just a lot of the racial brokenness going on in our country over the last number of days and rioting and you know, innocent men being murdered, it's just overwhelming. And so what do we do in this season? What do we do with ourselves? Well, we do two things. One, we keep doing exactly what we've been doing, loving people, sharing the love of Jesus with people, keeping Jesus at the center of it all, the main thing. And we continue to be the church who's always railed against racism, always railed against inequality. And so that's number one. And number two, we open up our awareness. We open up our awareness. Are we purposely not just not being a part of the problem, but are we being a part of the solution? Are we loving people that are different than us, that look different than us, that come from different places like us? And that goes for all of us in this church, our Caucasian folks in our church, and for folks of color in this church. Are we integrating and crossing the lines and purposely trying to love people different than ourselves and get to understand them and the culture more? So those are the two things. Keep being the church that is fiercely all about Jesus and his kingdom and discipleship and church planting and the nations, and then also remembering that we've got to up our game on being the melting pot of heaven right here at Antioch, Wichita. So that's our job. We won't be baited into operating in anger. We won't be baited into operating out of emotion, because even though emotions and those things are real, what usually happens is we don't honor Jesus in our response. And so we walk forth in faith and in peace and in the heart for God vengeance that he takes, and we want to be a part of the answer. And so that's our heart. That's what we'll continue to do, and we're going to see some of this injustice squashed for the kingdom of God in our midst. And so we continue on with our series, The Tribe, today, which is simply just a message about the local church. And, you know, as I grew up into my faith as a believer, the one thing I always needed besides Jesus that I didn't know was was the church. I railed against it so much when I didn't understand it. And as I came to understand it, I realized I desperately needed this family, my own tribe, that would stick with me through thick or thin and be life with me, do life with me, see power come. And so we've been talking for a few weeks about different aspects of our tribe, and you know, it's the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. Last week we jumped into a super significant part of the church, and that is that she is supernatural. And so in Acts 2, Pentecost comes, the Holy Spirit falls, the church is birthed, and it's been given the power promised in Joel 2 from the Lord that his church will be full of prophecy and the Spirit and power, and that's where we are. And so today I want to piggyback off that and continue the supernatural theme and just talk about a few aspects of what it means for us to be supernatural. And so we become, as believers in Jesus, supernatural when we surrender our lives completely to Jesus. And so Acts 2:38, Peter says to them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The moment that we surrender that, the moment that we give our lives to Jesus, surrender completely to him, and walk through in the faithfulness and obedience to God, we receive the Holy Spirit. We have access to the supernatural. And so that's from the time we surrender our lives. And so the church, of course, again, is the people, not just the place, not at all just the place. It's the people who inhabit the place that are filled with God and his supernatural power. And so so we are going to continue on with just talking about, listen, the supernatural church is the answer to the brokenness of the world, because it's Jesus' answer to the brokenness of the world. That is what he did. And that last week, I talked a little bit about what is a good church fit. And what am I looking for? A great worship team, you know, all those things. I'm telling you, the answer is it supernatural? Is it full of the presence of the power of God? And I pin this, the worst kind of church is a man-made one. We have so much going on in entertainment value you know, quality speakers, and all those things are a blessing if it's fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, and probably all guilty of this one way or another, sometimes we do it man-made. And man-made could have great production value and very little spiritual treasure. And so we want to make sure that we have the things of God. You can be in the fanciest place on earth with the greatest music, greatest communicators, and the Holy Spirit not fall, and people just walk out mildly scuffed by the Holy Spirit. And you could go somewhere to some little hut in Africa, or some guy preaching in the middle of the hood, four people listening to him, whatever, but he's full of the Holy Spirit. The place is open to the Holy Spirit, and everything changes, and it just comes off the chain. That's how real revival starts. Revival doesn't start in fabricated circumstances. And so when Pentecost fell and the church was birthed, the Holy Spirit came into God's church as he promised his people, who are his church, and exploded. And from there we see just throughout the ages of time, obviously there's historically, even if you're not a believer, something happened at that point in time that you can go back historically and see something about Christianity exploded. It wasn't just with the resurrection of Christ and the 500 followers who saw him those 40 days between the resurrection and Pentecost. It was when the Holy Spirit fell on God's people and the church exploded, that Christianity went to the nations and was never able to look back, because it was fueled and founded by God. And so that's what we're a part of. We are not a part of some local neighborhood thing. We're not a part of some good ethics teachings. We are a part of the supernatural family of God that is unstoppable. It is unchanging in her heart for the Lord and doctrine of his, and unwavered by the junk of this world. That's who we are. We are the church, and that doesn't come out of our flesh. If we operated in the flesh, and we're going to talk about that today, what would happen? It would just end up looking and smelling like everything else, and we need more than that. We beg the Lord to fall on our churches, and whatever's in us, we want that to be moved out of the way. It's been a prayer of mine for a long time. It's a scary prayer sometimes, because I say, Lord, if I'm in the way, then you need to move me out of the way. And I don't want to be in the way. I want to be full of him and not trying to make this thing work on my own great thoughts and creativity. And so that's not why we're here. And so just these four or five things today that I just want to just briefly go over, and to show this beautiful thing that we have in the church, the supernatural heart of the church. And so the first one is this tribe, it's the dwelling place of God. And so we jumped into that last week a little bit, but like we said, we are, when we give our lives to Jesus, the Lord comes and lives in us. But I want to concentrate on one aspect of this specifically. And so it's how we, when you become the dwelling place of God, everything changes. How we see people, how we see ourselves, all those things change. And so when it comes to an issue like something like racism, we're called to respect everybody because everyone is created in the Imago Dei, which means it's the image of God. And so everybody on the face of the earth, even if they're a believer or not, we still have the utmost love and respect for them, because every single one of us are created in God's image. It says that in the beginning, God created man and woman in his image. And so that is crucially important. So that's very important, number one, just to treat people with respect just because of that. When you look into the eyes of another person, you are looking into a masterpiece that God created, whether they pledge their heart and allegiance to him or not. But here's the second part of this about why being the dwelling place of God. And so remember, the church is the people, and the people are full of him because of his Holy Spirit comes to live in us when we give our lives to Jesus. And so the dwelling place has changed. The dwelling place in the Old Testament was in the inner courts of the temple and in the tabernacle. There's this one area where God's presence was all the time on as far as on earth. He was in there. Priests would go in there once a year. Nobody else really had access to it except for one guy once a year. That was the dwelling place on earth where God was, where he was at. And so in the New Testament is we see now that we are full of the Holy Spirit. God's dwelling place has changed and it comes into me. And so number one, we look at people through the lens of the Imago Dei. But number two, when we look at believers, anybody else that is a follower of Jesus, we are looking at the dwelling place of God. And when we know that we're looking at the dwelling place of God, when we look into somebody's eyes, when we see somebody, there should not be another topic on the face of the earth about that person that would override the fact that we are looking at one who carries God with them. They're inside. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. We are the dwelling place of God on this earth. And so how we see one another changes. When it comes to hatred and racism, and I mean in any facet, if you don't like a man because of the color of their skin, I don't care if it's black, white, brown, yellow, whatever it is, number one, kicking against the Imago Dei, and number two, if they are followers and lovers of Jesus, you are kicking against the Lord Himself and His child that He indwells. How we value people changes. This is how I think that we can walk through in deeper forgiveness, deeper grace. And I know some people have had some horrible things done to them by the people in the church. And some of you will just balk at this and go, I'm looking into the face of Jesus and the place that where He dwells. And these people were total this and that jerks. They were rude. They were unloving. And again, I have to go back and say, I know, but that is people operating in the flesh. What should be, and if we give grace for it to be, is what we grow into is how we treat each other that way. How we unify changes. How we see our own value changes. We talk about this, and the number one topic that we've experienced over the years that people have battled with the most is their identity. Sons and daughters, royal priests, the righteousness of God. These are all terms that the scriptures call us. And so when we see things through this, listen to me, God would not inhabit you if you were trash. There is nothing God has created that that He does not love. He is the Father, and He is the Creator. You might have been born in difficult circumstances, have gone through horrible things, or done stupid and horrible things to other people. But you are, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are the dwelling place of God. And if you're not, the Lord is knocking at your heart to come in and live you. That has to live in you. That has to change your perception of yourself. You have to change your valuation of yourself. You can't continue to see, I'm just lazy, or I'm just this, I'm just that, I can't do this, nobody this. In the end, that's garbage. As my kids would say, garbo. I'm sorry. And so, but if we look at that in the end, that is not God's heart. God lives in you. The God of heaven lives inside of us. And so, so God gives us all of that amazing stuff fleshed out in the church, His dwelling place. And so, so one thing I love the most about the church is that no matter who comes in, how they come in, and when they come in, it's not about who they've been. It's who fills them or who will fill them and who they're created in the image of. And so the church doesn't need to continue to keep trying to become something great or something else or something, whatever. In the end, it just needs to walk in its true identity, and that is a dwelling place of God. Not positive thinking, not good intentions, none of that stuff. It's supernatural newness and awareness that we are the dwelling place of God. So since you are the church, though, your home, your relationship with your husband or your wife, your kids, your job, school, spouses, all of that stuff, listen, you are dealing directly with the dwelling place of God. How you talk to your wife, how you talk to your husband, how you talk to your kids, kids, how you talk to your parents, how you deal with one another in love or not, or just pure sarcasm or whatever it is, you have to remember that you are addressing the dwelling place of God. And that should change us. It's a supernatural gift. And that supernatural gift that we have, that we are, we have to treat with great care and be very mindful of that. And so that's the first one, just the dwelling place of God. That's supernatural. So number two is this tribe that we belong to, of Jesus Christ, is where this church is, there is supernatural freedom and transformation. 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18 says, now this, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so, listen, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That means, clearly and simply, that if the Spirit of God is with us and the Spirit of God is in His church, His people, meeting in different places and times all over the world, there's freedom there. There's real freedom to have in the presence of God's people because God is there. If you need to be set free, so many times I've seen people set free of such monumental things that I can't even get my head around. It wasn't my preaching. It wasn't the worship team. It wasn't a small group. It wasn't house church. It was the power of God. And that is where we are. You know what the difference is between self-help or a Mormon gathering or any other religion on the face of the earth? Is where we are, as broken and as jacked up as we can be. That is the dwelling place of God. And that is the place of freedom because God Himself is there. Freedom, real freedom comes in dying to self and following Jesus, not showing up, not trying to fix yourself. For those of you who've been Christians for 20 years and you're still not walking in freedom, hold on. Trust the Lord. Trust what He has for you. Submit to what He has for you, and freedom will come. It doesn't promise that some freedom will come for some people. He's the God of freedom. It's His heart's desire and by His power that we would be totally free of one thing to the next, to every single thing. If you need to be set free, the church is the answer. And the cool part about that is it's not us changing ourselves. He's the one in the church, His people, changing us. Philippians 1:6 says, for I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion upon the day of Christ Jesus. God is working it out in us. That is the beautiful thing about what God does in the church. I got to be honest. I wish that I could tell you that the things that have changed in me, and there are many, many things that have changed in me, I wish they came out of my great discipline and diligence and all the things that God told me to do. I'm just telling you, most of the change has come in my life. Some of it has been by that, praise God, but a lot of it has just come, like walking through Him and doing life and being pulled through garbage, like these inner changes. Jen and I will just talk sometimes and I'll get mad or something, and I'll raise my voice, and then we'll stop and we'll both look. And just the other day in the car, we were having this conversation. I'm like, man, you remember what a donkey I was and how mad I used to get? And I used to have to just to fly off the handle. And remember how you used to be like this, and we were jealous and all these things. And honestly, we just kind of giggle about that stuff now. And it's a giggle with a little bloodletting if we can, but because we've changed. And what was it? Like, I can't say, oh, I'm pretty sure that I changed because of that one Bible study I was in. Those things have had incremental parts in it. It's just been the Spirit of God changing me. He's working on me. And guess what? He's not done with you yet. He's not done with me yet. There were things when I became a believer that I looked at and I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of that. And He's brought me a far away. And there are still some of those things that I'm not out of yet. And I have to trust Him and know that He is doing it, because He, where He is, there's freedom. There's real, real freedom. And so that's what's so different between us and the world. It's His power. He supernaturally changes us. Ezekiel 36, back in the Old Testament, has this great promise from God. It says in verse 26 through 38, but I think I only go to 28, but it says, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I am so glad that God doesn't give us a better heart. I'm so glad that God doesn't give us a refurbished heart. He gives us a new heart and a new spirit. We are new creations. Some of us need to learn how to walk it out with our newness and die to that flesh that's still there, but we're new. And it's Him and Him alone that's doing it. And we just come underneath of what He's doing. There's freedom in this place. Amen. through the work of the Spirit. And so just little things God walks us through, just like even dealing with sin battles. The Lord always gives us a way out into freedom through His Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you might be able to endure it." How does that happen? It happens supernaturally. God gives us a doorway out to not have to choose the sin. You've always had a way out, even if you felt like you didn't, because your urges were so strong, your anger was so strong, your emotions were so strong. We always have a way out as followers of Jesus. It's learning how to slow down and listen to His voice first before we react that changes some of those things. And so here's the third one. This tribe is just full of supernatural overcomers. Now, I've seen a lot of people go through horrible stuff in my life. I've seen it myself, my family, significant trauma in life. But the only people that I've ever seen truly overcome is the people of the church. This is why I've often battled with some recovery programs and things that they give great tools. Some of them were founded on Jesus, but in the end, if your gig is a higher power and not Jesus Christ Himself, you're going to miss the point. You don't have the true power. You might be able to willpower that thing for a long time, and maybe you're just a particularly strong person, but in the end, it will come up. You will not walk in freedom. But because of the Holy Spirit, we are overcomers. Like, we overcome. That is our default. That is what happens in us. And so John 16:33, as many times we've talked about this verse, Jesus says, "I have said these things to you that you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." If Jesus has overcome it, and now we are full of His Spirit, we are overcomers. The supernatural presence of God leads us through. We have supernatural spirit of power. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of self-control." Did you hear that? He has given us a spirit of power. He's given us a spirit of love, and He's given us a spirit of self-control. He has put that in us. That's in us supernaturally. And I pen this: real Christianity has the inability to be defeated. My stupid, cheesy thing I always go back to from the 90s, baby's kids, "We don't die, we multiply." Literally, for a believer in Jesus, and sometimes I I wish there was another way, but this is the way, and that's how we grow the most, it's how we become more like Jesus. But we go through, and we go through, and we go through, and we go through, and when we do it His way, we're not defeated. We're not dead in the eternal things. We have alive. Everything that happens to us, if we allow God to teach us, we learn from, we grow from, we don't die. We multiply everything that comes at us because we're overcomers. And I don't know if you feel like an overcomer today, but you are wired to be an overcomer because you have the Spirit of God in you. It doesn't matter what has come or what is coming. It can be these ongoing cancer battles and problems with our flesh and dealing with people in our past or memories of things. Those things are horrible, but they do not own you. God and God alone owns you because you are a supernatural overcomer, and you belong to a tribe that is supernatural. We don't shrink back. We don't waver in fear. That's why Christian missionaries and believers run to the battle. I love hearing the story this week of protest and some of our old friends from the hood back at where our first building was. They were up there in the middle of this thing, praying for people, handing out Bibles, loving people that might have turned violent, and they just did an amazing job. So proud of that. And so I was very moved by that. And so here's the next one. It's number four. This tribe that we have, it just has supernatural character. What do I mean by that? If the church was left to her own human character, we would fall short. And so our kind of love, our kind of grace, I mean, we do a good job sometimes faking it. Some of you do a way better job than I do. Some of you are just naturally gifted in a few things, but in the end, if our character is just based on us and there's no supernatural, there's no supercharge, there's no heavenly ion battery behind it, we just fall short. And so when we talk about things, and these are verses we've delved into for years, but talking about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, the scripture's talking about there is this fruit of the flesh, which leads to debauchery and all of these, just rivalries and things, all the stuff that comes out of the flesh. And unfortunately, some of those things are are in the middle of the church. But then the scripture goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit, and that just simply means, for those of you who don't know what that means, we have a supernatural character that comes out of us. It's fruit. It's fruit that hangs off of our, ding, 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 by an apple or an orange or something sitting right here. The fruit of that tree would be an apple. You could tell it's an apple tree. Same thing happens with us spiritually. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, this is what the scripture says. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. When we walk in the Spirit, we have supernatural things to give each other. I don't have to fabricate my love for you. I need to learn how to walk in it. There's difference, but I can give you supernatural love. I can love my family in a supernatural way because I'm a part of this supernatural tribe. I can have supernatural peace, peace on earth that I give to you, not peace from earth, but peace on earth that comes from heaven. I have a peace that comes from heaven. It is mine because this supernatural thing in me, it's coming out. Patience. Oh, Lord Jesus. supernatural patience that I never would have had for you and you for me and me for my spouse or my children or the world. That's so good. Kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I don't know about you, but those things aren't things that come out of Rob Dan's naturally, but since we're a part of this supernatural tribe, what we have to give one another is supernatural character. And that's a big deal. And here's the last one this morning. This tribe, which is just, so important, and we spent a lot of time talking about this last year, we are supernaturally gifted people. Again, kind of referencing what we talked about last time, but this time is imagine the people of God being led and empowered by their own will and power. Imagine if the church was just on the gifting of men naturally. And some people might say, well, that's happening now. And I agree, and it needs to stop. And I've been guilty of that before, trying to fabricate things, not on purpose, not in a vindictive way or in a deceitful way, but just trying too hard to make things happen. But we know that not only has God given us fruit that comes out of our life, and love, and joy, peace, kindness, self-control, but there are actual gifts that God gives us. And so Jesus said this strange comment in John chapter 14, 12. He says, truly, truly, I say to you that whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. And because Jesus went to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit, and now we are full of that supernatural, miraculous power. Like, the church is a place of miracles. And we know, but by the Holy Spirit, that the church has things that are called spiritual gifts. And this is a great conversation. If you've never really heard a sermon or a teaching on spiritual gifts, I would encourage you to go listen to our sermon series from last year called Shifting the Atmosphere. I think it's really helpful for you to explain each and every one of the gifts. But I give you the overview of one of the three places that you'll find the gifts in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. Now, these are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given, there they come, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each individually as he wills. God did not send his son Jesus to come and die, to save us from our sins, and then entrust us to be the church in these final days to see the nations won and leave us with an empty tank. God has given us gifts, And yeah, we've talked again about God is, we all have at least one of these gifts to where it could be prophecy or words of wisdom and words of knowledge. It could be, you know, just help, servants, all this stuff that we've talked about. We get these gifts, and this is where the problem goes wrong. And this is, you know, and this happened in the Corinthian church, and this is why Paul is addressing it so much about abuses of things like tongues and whatnot. But man grabs a hold of these things because they're supernatural. When I mean these are supernatural gifts, these are things that you can't do on your own, that the only excuse to be able to come out of you is it was a God thing. That was a God thing. And so there's all of these gifts, and God gives them to you for why? And then 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, so within yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. They were given to build up the church. And so it's powerful. And these aren't gifts of playing guitar. These aren't gifts of being necessarily a good speaker. These aren't necessarily gifts of having a great parking lot ministry. All those things are the service, and those are fine. But this is different. There is something so unbelievably powerful and amazing when the church is running supernaturally on all cylinders. When you have a room full of God's people, where either it's in a service or it's in a small group or it's in discipleship or one-on-one, when you have people that are banging on all cylinders using their spiritual gifts, and we all use them, we don't all have all gifts, but we have a gift and we're all used. This is why the body language that we talked about last week is so important. We're all part of one body, but we are many parts and we all need one another. And so when you walk in a room and there is a gifted, spiritually gifted, like in Ephesians, like preacher, teacher in there, it is so good. When you get in the room where there's people operating in the prophetic and praying and getting words of knowledge and words of wisdom for you, that is so amazing. When you have people that are operating in the gifts of healing and people are getting healed and not by some thing where you're knocking people over with some magic dust or anything like that, but you're just praying and the God of heaven works through people and he does miraculous healings. I mean, come on. Every single one of the gifts, even ones like tongues that some of you don't understand, and there's biblical beauty in those gifts. Every one of them, when they're operating God's way in God's people, it is so mind-blowingly powerful, unexplainable, and far more advantageous to the kingdom than somewhere that's just trying to do good. We're a part of a supernatural tribe because, and one of the beauties of that is we have supernatural gifts. Like we have gifts inside the church. That's why the church is alive. The church is full of power and miracles. The church is full of the love of God. The church is full of God's hope for the nations. We are the house of hope for the nations and for the peoples of the earth that are broken. We are the place of freedom and transformation. And the church is just God's arm of power. It's the dwelling place of God. The church is supernatural. Can I say it enough? I'll say it 20 more times if you need me to. Please don't forget, y'all, that we belong to a supernatural church. Aren't you done with just going to services? And I'm not trying to knock anything, but I've been a part of family that is all in for the supernatural presence of God. And guess what? The supernatural church is what's going to change the world, because the supernatural church is the one that's getting out of the way and allowing God to go, and we follow behind him. We are a supernatural tribe, and I am so honored to be a part of the supernatural tribe. And please, as we begin to come back together, can we not just want to get back, not just for relationship's sake, which is so beautiful and such a gift, but let's get back into the power of all of the body, one body, and though many parts all coming together and operating in the gifts, operating in the freedom that God has given us, operating in the character, supernatural character of God, operating not only in the Imago Dei, but also in the dwelling place of God. I can't wait for that. The church is the answer to the world because it is Jesus's bride, and you're a part of it. So am I. That's what we do here. Don't forget. Don't you get bogged down by coronavirus. Don't you get bogged down by riots in the earth and men in the sinful actions of what happens in this place. Don't you forget for a minute that you are a part of something that is so higher so high above that spiritually, because God is with us, then we're meant to overcome those things, not to be overcome by them. If you've been overcome by them, I understand. I've had a hard time with it too. But let's dial back into the tribe that we're a part of and our chief, Chief Jesus. That's horrible. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you so much this morning for my family. God, I just pray for every single one of them and every spot and seat they're in their living room and their home and cars, wherever they are traveling. Lord Jesus, God, just remind them that you are have given us not only just this beautiful gift of salvation and eternity, which is the sweetest thing ever, but Lord, you knew us. You knew we needed each other, and you knew we needed you with us all the time. You are the one who indwells in us. You have never left us. We're always with you. You're always with us. We're never alone. We always have you. We always have your power, not just to fall back on, but to fall into, that you would go ahead of us, Lord. God, would you make Antioch, Wichita continue to grow us into a supernatural church more and more and more. Let us pray for men and women on here that haven't surrendered their lives to you. They're not a part of a tribe. Maybe they've been burnt by a man-made church, or they're just angry about it and feel like they have to come some certain way. Lord, I pray that you would just crush that this morning, and that they would see that the church is a full of busted people being made right by Jesus and being supernaturally indwelled and sent and empowered and equipped and loved. God, we love you. God, break the back of evil in our country. And Lord, use us to be a part of the answer. Jesus, come and fall on this place. Thank you, God, for family. In Jesus' name, amen.